Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join us in hymn number 101, His Name is Wonderful.
Good morning to everyone. Welcome to each of you. Isn't that a beautiful hymn to open with? His name is wonderful, and just a beautiful hymn. A few announcements I want to share with you as we begin our service today. Just notice again a reminder about the ladies' luncheon and the little insert in your bulletin. Again, they are planning on doing a luncheon here for the ladies, kind of in honor of all our ladies and mothers here. It's going to be May 14th. There's a sign-up sheet there on the kitchen door. It looks like some names are starting to be placed on there. So put your name on there as well if you're a lady. Now, if you're a man, you're not going to be able to make that trip, but we invite all the ladies to be a part of that. And I think they're just going to have a good time. They're going to have light lunch and entertainment to follow. And it doesn't have to be just if you're part of this church. You can invite your mom or your sister, or I think they're just opening that up to whoever you would like to invite to come to be a part of that. So maybe your mother or your grandmother or your daughter, however you'd like to do that, we invite you to. Also, just a reminder about the Disaster Ministries auction. There are still booklets available, I know, out there in the Narthex. If you have questions about that building up to it, which is not that many weeks away now, May 20th and the 21st, you can see Nancy Harlow. She's here today. Certainly she'll help you with any information on that. But the auction is always a big thing, a great fundraiser, the biggest fundraiser for the disaster ministry. So we pray that that will go well, and we look forward to that proceeding. Also, just want you to notice there, we'll be receiving new members here on Sunday, May the 22nd. I've already received some people's transfer letters for their membership here. If you are having questions about membership, or you would like to be a member here at Moscow, would like to move your membership, and would be want to be a part of that May 22nd service, then please let me know following the service. Be sure to give me your name and just let me know exactly what your intent is on that. So that's open to those who would like to participate. I think there's five or six that are going to be joining the church that day. So I hope that you come and are here to encourage those new people that will be joining our church. Also, I want to encourage just a word about our Sunday school class. I want to encourage you that we do have Sunday school here. It starts at 9:30. I know it's a little bit earlier, so you have to get it going a little sooner, but it is a good thing, and I want to encourage each of you, if you hadn't thought of coming to, or maybe you've thought about coming to Sunday school, but you hadn't done it yet, please come. We certainly need people in our Sunday school class, and it just is great to have that fellowship time together and the study together. Leadership team meeting this week. If you're on that team, be sure to take note of that. Also, just a note about the National Day of Prayer. The NRMA will be having our National Day of Prayer May 5th. We're going to be having that service at Emmanuel Church of the brethren. And that's going to be at 7 o'clock. I know that's not on there, but that's usually when it takes place. And so I'll be having some more information about that next week. But if you want, please come out and be a part of that. And lastly, just a church work day will be May 7th here. Randy Johnson's here. If you have any questions about that, we'll be spreading mulch. And, you know, the more hands that we have, the more work we'll get done. That's kind of the way it works. So Randy's always got a list of things that we could do, but really it's going to determine on how much we can accomplish on how many people show up. So if you want to see Randy, maybe just give him a heads up if you can be here that day. I think that helps him on some of the pre-planning of what we'll try to accomplish. Some of the things I know we're going to do is the mulching around the facility, and some of those things are just a given. But for many, hands make light work. And so, if you would like to participate in that, we certainly would receive it. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Kenny?
Next Sunday is Youth Sunday.
That's right. That's exactly right. Youth.
And the kids will be doing everything from the greeting to the ushering and worship leading. And we encourage as many of them to be here as possible.
Absolutely. Appreciate you recognizing that and have that in our bulletin. But we look forward to that, the kids being involved in the service. And they're already getting prepared up here right now, I think. I see them all staring at me, so maybe they're... are you taking good notes this morning? Yes, just say, we're taking good notes. So we appreciate all those helping hands that will be assisting me next week. And we look forward to that. So what a blessing to have the youth here, and what a way to just incorporate them in part of our worship. So we look forward to that. Okay, any other announcements? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just so thankful for this morning. Lord, we've woken up here to just the sun shining, Lord, and we know that you're shining upon us as well. Your blessings are always shining upon us, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Lord, we come here this morning seeking to praise you, to worship you, to again lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we're a week past Easter, but Lord, the name of Jesus is still upon our lips, and Lord, we do praise him here this morning. We worship the one who died and rose again for each one of us, and Lord, we thank you for the salvation, the eternal life, the grace, the goodness, the love which we have received because of your blessed Son, Jesus, and we praise him here this morning. It's in his name that we pray these things together. Amen. Let's stand this for our morning call to worship. It's found in the inside of your bulletins, coming from portions of Hebrews chapter 11. Speaking of faith, it says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for." So that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. For by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. Let's turn our hymnals to page 234. Crown him with many crowns. Page 234. Sound great this morning. Yeah, you sound wonderful. Just enjoy all the singing. Okay, I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up any prayers or prayer requests, praises we might have. A few I would like to give you and that you would keep on your list. First of all, if you would just continue to put on your prayer list Roy Casmore. I'd shared about him last week, well, week before last, and just want you to continue to pray for him. Roy's the fella that we've cut wood for kind of annually each year. We work with the community churches and cutting wood. He's in a wheelchair and his wife is kind of frail as well. So if you would just keep both them in your prayers, especially Roy though. He's home from the hospital, but he's still kind of struggling past some sickness that he's dealing with and just struggles that he is dealing with. So please would you keep Roy Casmore in your prayers if you would. I also want you to continue to keep Carlton Simmons in your prayers. I was hoping Randy would be here. We could get an update. He's not here to share with us about his brother, but I know that week before last he was sharing that he had surgery on his brain, and so we want to just continue to pray for Carlton and his recovery if you would. Also, we want to continue to pray for Bruce Shirky. Please keep him in your prayers. Bruce has doing fair. Yeah, he's getting better each and every day. He shared with me in a text this morning that he's still up moving around some with the help of a walker. So, Bruce, if you remember, he fell about a month ago off of a roof and fell about 10 feet onto his side. And so he has broken his pelvic bone there in several places and fractured it and is kind of recovering from that. So we're just praying that he everything stays aligned, that he won't have to have surgery. I know that was a prayer he was sharing with me. Also, we're just delighted to have Donald back with us. Praise the Lord. Donald Michael's back with us, and he seems to be doing much better. So praise the Lord for that. He's still not out of the woods, though, are you, Donald? No, he'll tell you, you know, anytime you've broken ribs and gone through the kind of trauma that his midsection has gone through, you're going to be sore, and it's going to take some time. But what a blessing to see you back, Donald, and praise the Lord, you're not in that old hospital room anymore. That's a blessing in itself, isn't it, Donald?
Sure.
Not that they don't take good care of you, but it's just nice to be home. And so glad that you're here this morning, Donald, and that you're doing well. We want to continue to pray for you, Donald, though, and just keep lifting you up in prayer that you will continue to heal as you have been. So praise the Lord for that. You know, I have a wonderful praise this morning, too. She wouldn't let you know this, but I'll let you know it for her. And it's Janet Good's birthday today. Isn't that great? We are so blessed to have Janet here. And Janet, you want to share?
Yes, I just feel so blessed to be a part of this church family. And I just feel blessed to have another birthday. And the third blessing, I have a new great-grandson.
Oh, well, congratulations.
3 days old.
Isn't that something? How many does that make then, Janet, for you?
Seven.
Now, you said great-grandkid, right?
Greats.
Yeah, seven greats. And how many grandchildren?
Three.
Three, okay, wow. So that's a blessing, isn't it, Janet? What a birthday gift in itself, isn't it? Just your family's growing. And we celebrate that with you. We celebrate your birthday. Janet, we're blessed to have you.
Thank you.
Some of you might not know this, but Janet's husband, Beverly, served this church for a long time. And so we're just so blessed to have Janet here with us and continuing to serve this church and with her music ministry. And she's certainly leading us well this morning. We just appreciate that. So happy birthday, Janet. And we celebrate that with you. Are there other praises or joys or...
Rochelle Ukraine.
She continues, and you are faithful to that. Thank you so much for continuing to remind us. That has not finished yet, and we want to continue to pray for peace in Russia, in Ukraine. And thank you again for reminding us of that. We really appreciate that. Megan?
I had an update on David Lilly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does start chemo beginning of May, and they say it's going to be like 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
Doing chemo.
Chemo beginning of May. And the surgery went well.
Mm-hmm. Found some in his lymph nodes. So
okay.
That.
Yeah, the chemo. We appreciate you keeping us informed. He's the one that owns the store in Churchville area. So if you would, just keep David Lilly in your prayers, especially as he begins the treatments of chemo. You know, thinking about chemo, we want to remember Gene as well. Gene Armstrong is also getting those treatments, chemo treatments. I was able to visit with her briefly just last week, and she said, some of my hair is starting to come out, and she didn't. You know, that's kind of one of the bad effects of it. But she was still as beautiful as ever. And I was sure to tell her that. And so we are just thankful for the treatments that are available. And we just pray for good results from these treatments. Not only for David, but for Jean too. That's what I told Jean. We are just praying for healing for her. And that these treatments would fight back that cancer. And that's our prayer for both of them. So... thank you, Megan, for keeping us updated there. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
That she might be having some trouble with difficulty.
Okay.
So they're going to test that this week also.
Leapy McManaway, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one is the little baby, Nicole.
Yes, okay.
From other states.
Yes.
And they did have a praise. She had stopped eating because of the drugs, the taste.
That's yeah.
The taste buds.
Yeah.
And they put her on a new medicine and have been offering prayers. And the other day she started eating, and she's a dipper. She likes to dip things, guacamole and things like that.
Okay.
So they're just praising the Lord that she is starting to eat, because they were, you know, that's a worry for a small child.
Huh. Well, I appreciate the update on her. We continue to pray for her. I don't know if I'm a dipper or not. I think sometimes I'm a grabber. That'd be my fault. I'm a grabber, but Pauline.
Dean Botkin.
Okay, Dean Botkin.
He's been moved to Augusta Medical.
Okay.
And he'll be there for a while for therapy.
Okay, we've been continuing to pray for Dean. Sounds like things are moving in a positive direction finally for him. So, yeah, if you would keep Dean Botkin, that name, in your prayer list, if you would. Anyone else? LaBriska, and then Robin. LaBriska first.
Hi, dear. My neighbor is still in MCB.
Okay.
They did put drains in his abdomen, and he was doing a little bit better. But then she posted something again saying he's not doing very good, and could we all please pray for him?
Okay. Tell us his name again.
Roger.
Thank you, LaBriska, for keeping us updated there as well. Robin?
I wanted to pray for Kelly this morning.
Okay.
Yesterday he built a deck for his mom, and he was in the sun for the whole day, and last night he just suffered from, I guess...
Oh, burn. Oh, okay.
He hasn't slept at all.
Oh.
And he's been very sick.
Yeah, that can be quite dangerous, so yeah. We'd definitely be lifting up him in prayers. So... thought maybe you were going to tell me at first he was like a lobster. He was burned up, but... yeah. But he's just sick.
Very, very
yeah.
Sick. He went in the house and I had to turn the heat on, put three blankets for him.
Wow.
He's just very sick.
Yeah. Robin, thanks for keeping us informed on that, letting us know. We'll be praying for him, but tell him if he gets worse, he needs to go to the hospital or something, it sounds like. You don't want to mess around with something like that. That can be extremely dangerous. Yeah, it's easy to happen. Yeah, it really is. If you didn't hear that, you didn't hear Robin, her husband Kelly, heat exhaustion from working out yesterday. And you know, it was 80-some degrees yesterday, I think. Yeah, so it can get us quick, and certainly we want to be in prayer for him. Thank you, Robin. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call on our ushers to come forward now to collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning offering our tithes and our offerings, Lord, as a blessing unto you. Lord, you have blessed us with much. And Father, we seek to return that blessing unto you, even as you required of those of old, Lord, a tenth. Lord, we bring to you our tithes. And Lord, we bring to you our offerings of blessing. And Lord, we seek that you might be blessed in that which we bring unto you. Lord, we seek to glorify you. We seek to praise you. We seek to worship you. We do that through our giving. Lord, we do that through our music, our song, our voice, our prayers, even our scripture and sermon, Lord. We worship you in and through this service. This is your worship service. And we are seeking to lift up your Son Jesus, to worship him, and to, Lord, just to praise his name here together. Lord, in these simple offerings in which we bring, Father, we worship you. Lord, we worship you because you are just so good. You are so wonderful to each one of us. And Lord, even as we offer up our prayer request and Lord, our praises, Father, it is because, Lord, you are so good to us. We seek your help in our time of need. And Lord, we praise you in our time of prospering. Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we pray that all these names that were listed here this morning, Father, I know you've heard each one. We don't have to go through them again, Father, but you've heard these names. And Lord, you hear not only these names, but you hear our heart's desire. Lord, that where there needs to be healing, Father, we pray that your will might be done. Lord, where treatments need to be effective, Lord, we pray that thy will might be done. And Lord, where people are needing deliverance, Father, from different sicknesses and illnesses, Lord, again, we pray thy will be done. Lord, we seek your perfect will and your perfect way. Lord, we always want to remain on your path. Lord, we know that we stray off at times. Father, we go about life in our own understanding. We go about trying to solve our problems in our own means or our own abilities. But Lord, Father, we just pray that you always draw us back and see that, Lord, we must have faith that, Lord, in our times of trouble, in our times of need, that we can always turn to you. And Lord, that you are there for us. Father, we repent of those places where we have failed. We repent of where we have had doubt when we should have had faith. Lord, we repent, Lord, of where there is sin in our life where it should be righteousness. Lord, we repent that we have fallen short of the victories of your cross. But Lord, we repent of these things seeking, Lord, that we might turn and, Lord, seek your face. That, Lord, we might accomplish much in your name. Even as this church, Lord, we might accomplish much in your name. Lord, we praise you. We praise you for your goodness. And Lord, we praise you for who you are in our life. Lord, we worship you together in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it great to pray together? Just love to pray together. Okay, I want the children's church can be dismissed. I know that's what they were waiting on. But they did such a good job up here, didn't they? They did, and they're all trained up for next week. So we look forward to that. And they do such a good job. I think Corbin is the one that started the sitting on the front, and they have followed suit, hadn't they? He's encouraged all of them. He spurred their faith, didn't he? Yes, he did. So we appreciate that. Okay, I want you in your Bible to turn with me to John chapter 20. We're going to kind of pick up on those events that happened after the resurrection. We kind of come through Resurrection Sunday, haven't we, last week? And we're going to pick up now and see exactly some things that happened following the resurrection. We're going to look at the doubting of Didymus. You know who I'm talking about there? Who's Didymus? Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Yeah. I heard one person say it. Does anybody else back there know it? In the back? Does anybody in the back know it? The back doesn't have the bad students, does it? Yeah. Good students set in the front, bad students in the back now. Huh? Doubting of Thomas, isn't it? It's Thomas. a doubting of Thomas, but they also called him Didymus, which is to mean twin. So he possibly had a twin brother there. But anyways, the doubting of Thomas. But you know, the doubting of Thomas didn't sound as good as the doubting of Didymus, so I went with Didymus. Okay, we're going to pick up here in John chapter 20, verse 24 through 31, seeing this story of Thomas. Now, Thomas, called the twin, that's Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You know, one of the main reasons that the disciples believed, really, in the resurrection was because they seen Jesus, didn't they? Here we are told that all the disciples had seen Jesus except Thomas, Didymus, right? He had been somewhere else. It doesn't exactly tell us the scriptures where Thomas was when Jesus first appeared. It's just that he was not there. Now, this really wasn't the first appearing of Jesus after the resurrection. Really, the first person to see Jesus after the resurrection was Mary Magdalene. If you turn back in chapter 20 there, you come to verses 11. Just kind of back up a little bit. We started at verse 24. If you move back just a little bit in your scripture, you'll see there Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So he's not there. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And now when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me." So she embraced him, didn't she? "For I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. Now that was really the first appearing of Jesus, wasn't it, that we see within the scriptures. Then later he appeared in various other places. Believe it or not, Jesus appeared over a length of 40 days. It's kind of a significant number, isn't it, in the Bible, 40 days. Think of all the other events that happened in 40 days. Remember Noah. How many days and nights did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. was kind of the length of period that it rained. 40 really is a test of, or a number that is more like proving, a testing maybe, or a trial. Remember when Jesus went into the wilderness? He was there 40 days, wasn't he? Fasting and tempted. This trial or this testing, this proving of self. Jesus proved himself, didn't he? His worthiness, that he was the Son of God in the wilderness. He proved himself. And so again, it's not, I guess it's somewhat logical that again, this 40 days is a proving of himself, that he truly is risen from the grave. And he was seen by various people. The disciples here, Mary Magdalene, and many others during this 40-day period. You know, without Jesus appearing, what do you think people would be saying about Jesus? I think they would be coming up with lies, don't you? Or they would say, he's not risen. Yeah, his body's gone, but, you know, he was taken. He was stolen. Don't you think people would say that? Hey, listen, that's exactly what they said. In fact, if you read Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15, it says that the Pharisees and Sadducees started to plant a seed, a lie, that very thing had happened to Jesus. That he wasn't resurrected, that he wasn't really alive, but they said that Jesus had, his body had been stolen. It says the guards went to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. That is, they're telling the chief priests that Jesus' body is no longer there. He's gone. And when the chief priests had met with the elders, they devised a plan, is what it says. Here's the plan. That they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say, his disciples came in the night and stole him while we were sleeping. There's the lie, isn't it? And the Bible goes to say it's the same story. When Matthew writes his gospel, he says the same story that's continuing to be proclaimed among the Jews even to this day. Now we know that the Matthew's book was probably written some 40 to 50 years after the resurrection of Christ. So some 40 to 50 years after Jesus had been raised from the grave, the lie that the Pharisees sowed was still being proclaimed, still being told of the Jews. He didn't rise from the grave, don't you know? They came and stole his body in the night. They even told the soldiers, don't worry about what the governor will say about this. We'll make sure that it's all worked out. If they just lied, they would make sure that these soldiers were taken care of, that they weren't disciplined. You know, they could be put to death for not guarding that tomb. There was a seal that was placed upon that tomb. Really, it had a wax seal, almost like old letters had a wax seal. There would be a seal placed upon the tomb, and a signet ring was pressed in it, and that tomb was sealed up, and no one could break that seal of that tomb. And if those soldiers who were on the job, they were supposed to be protecting the tomb, that no one would interfere with the governor's commandments. Pilate had put these things in order. This is what was supposed to happen. You was to mess with that, the soldiers could be put to death. And so you can see their incentive to working out a plan that they wouldn't be put to death for them not watching the tomb, and that the body was then... This scheme or this lie was conjured up, and it was still being preached up or told until that day. You know, the Bible goes to say that Jesus was seen, though. You know, this lie wouldn't hold water because Jesus was seen resurrected. Mary Magdalene was the first. We know the disciples were a part of that. You know, if somebody said this lie that Jesus' body was stolen, you know, you might be able to spread that lie, and it might take hold. But what if Jesus was seen by someone like Mary Magdalene? Well, it'd be a little bit tougher, wouldn't it, to share this lie? You got an eyewitness account that Jesus is not dead, he's alive. Well, what happens if you not only Mary Magdalene, but now you have all the disciples, you know, 11 at first, Bible tells us Peter was first. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can see where Paul talks about those where Jesus appeared. He says Jesus appeared to the disciples. Paul tells us that Peter seen him first. Later he would appear to the other disciples. But Thomas was missing, and then later, some days later there, well, I think it was the same day, he was seen on the road to Emmaus, remember, by the two disciples. There was another account of Jesus. He revealed himself. Even when Mary Magdalene was heading back to tell the disciples, he again revealed himself to James, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome and Joanna, one of the scriptures tell us. And they also clasped at his feet. He told them not to do that. Not only did they see him, but they touched him. They literally touched Jesus. And so we see over and over, Paul tells us that at one point there were not just 10 witnesses or 50 witnesses, but at one place there were 500 witnesses. Read that for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can read where Paul says, at one place there were 500 people that seen Jesus alive. Now you start to get into, well, that's a little more believable, isn't it? You got 500 eyewitnesses. Over 500 eyewitnesses that are accounted of just in these few scriptures here. And I'm sure there was a lot more than that that seen Jesus resurrected from the grave. He was alive. You know, Jesus wanted his followers to see him. He wanted them to believe that he was alive. It wasn't something he was trying to hold away from them. He wanted them to see and believe he certainly was alive. Now, there was one, and that's where our story picks up today, one named Thomas here, who in all this revelation of Jesus revealing himself here to the 500, to the two on the road to Emmaus, Mary Magdalene, and then Mary, the mother of James, and all these others that he had shown himself to. Here, poor Thomas, he still hadn't seen the resurrected Lord, has he? He's one of the 12 disciples, and yet for some reason, he has not seen the resurrected Lord. And so we see here that, again, the disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the risen Lord." And he says, unless I see him, unless I see his hands and see the prints of the nails and put my fingers into the prints of the nails and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. Really, that's a pretty amazing thing that Thomas is saying, isn't he? That he needs to see, though. He has to see. And for him to believe as well. Unless I see these things, I will not believe, is the proclamation of Thomas. Now, what does the story of Thomas teach us? Well, first of all, it teaches us that Thomas lacked faith, didn't he? He lacked the faith he needed to believe. He says here, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger into the nail marks, put my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's really a remarkable thing, is what he's asking. Kind of grody in some sense, isn't it? He wants to put his finger really through the nail holes and see and feel that for himself and put his hand into the side where Jesus had been pierced. Really a tremendous statement that Thomas is making here, that he has to see. He has to see to believe. I guess you could say that Thomas is a practicalist, that he's kind of a man of logic, isn't he? He's more of a realist, that he has to see to believe. He didn't just take things for a person's word for something, that he actually needed to see it. You might call him a skeptic. You might call him a realist. But for him to believe, he had to see something for himself. Now, this was kind of always the nature of Thomas throughout the scriptures. If you remember other stories of Thomas, remember when Jesus was teaching in John chapter 14 about that Jesus said, "I'm going away." He said, "If I'm going away to prepare a place for you." Remember that scripture? I'm going to wait, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you, and I will come back to take you where I am so that you may be with me. And then he goes on to say, you know the way of where I am. You know the place where I am going. But then Thomas, remember what he says? Lord, we don't know the way. He kind of pipes up, doesn't he? Here he is, this realist. What's Jesus talking about? We don't know what he's talking about here. We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. Lord, where are you going? Of course, Jesus said, I am the way, didn't he? I am the truth. I am the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus told him exactly the way. You know, another example of Thomas and his skepticism, or his kind of just his realistic attitude. Remember when Jesus was there with the disciples by the Jordan River and they got word that Lazarus was dead? That he was sick. Well, the word came and he was sick. And Jesus, of course, explained to him that he was sleeping, and that he meant, though, that he was dead. And they said to him, Lord, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. And Jesus said, no, he is really dead. But I'm glad, he said, for my sake, that I wasn't there, that you might see the glory of God and believe. This was a good thing, Jesus was saying. God was in it. You know what Thomas's response was when he said, let's go? Thomas said, well, let us also go that we may die with him. That was Thomas's response. Let us go that we may also die with him. You know, if we're really truthful about it, doubting is something that we all do, isn't it? Sometimes we depend a little bit too much on, or maybe we're like Thomas, we're a skeptic. Doubt can creep in, can't it? It's like a cancer in our faith. Listen, even the preacher can have doubts. We all have doubts. When we have doubts, though, we have to go back to the truth, don't we? Go back to the truths that we know God preaches and proclaims to us, the foundational things. But listen, we all doubt. It's human to doubt, isn't it? It's human. We all doubt. Thomas doubted. He doubted. It was not something that Jesus wanted. He wanted him to believe, is what he told Thomas, isn't he? He said to Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believe. But believe. That was his command to Thomas. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. We all doubt at times. You know, what Thomas did, though, he admitted it, didn't he? We don't like to admit it. We don't like to admit our faults, do we? Our failures, our fears, our problems. We don't want to admit those things. Some people say admitting the problem is half the battle. Thomas admitted he was a doubter. He could not come to the place of believing in his faith that Jesus was alive, that he was well, unless he too was able to see and touch with his hands and put his hand into the side of Jesus. He was a doubter. And listen, doubt impairs our faith, doesn't it? Doubt impairs our faith. Think about it. Without Thomas being able to believe, he could not move forward in his discipleship, could he? At that point, the discipleship is over. Not only that, though, he couldn't receive the things that Jesus was promising to him, which was eternal life, which was salvation, which was a cleansing of sin. These things were all resolved through Christ's death and resurrection. But if Thomas didn't believe in those things, he couldn't receive them. Listen, the same happens to us, friends, when we have doubt in our life. We have doubt in the things of God. He says, the things I want to give you, you can't receive them until you first believe. And so Jesus says to Thomas, I want you to believe. Do not be unbelieving, verse 27 there. But Thomas, be believing. I think that's the same statement that Jesus is making to us this morning. We have doubts, but Jesus says, do not be unbelieving in me. Believe. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what problem you have in your life, believe that God has got this. He is on your side, and He is your victory. Doubt impairs our ability to believe. Now, I've wrestled with this a great deal Because as the more you think about it, you have faith and doubt. And you would think that doubt is the opposite of faith. Wouldn't that be logical? That faith and doubt are on opposite spectrums, that they are completely opposite of one another? But it's not doubt that is the opposite of faith. Certainty is the opposite of faith. Not doubt. Certainty. Now that's crazy thinking, isn't it? It's kind of profound. Certainty, because where there is certainty, there is no faith. If you've got certainty, that is that you know everything, you see everything, then where is your faith? Faith is believing the things that you cannot see. Isn't that what you quoted Scripture in the call to worship? Believing those things that are unseen? That's what faith is. It's believing in things that aren't certain, that we don't know for sure, but we have faith to believe that those things are true. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. But God can use doubt in our life to increase our faith. So in that regard, that's why I just had this massive struggle this week with what doubt is. Is doubt bad? I had this long conversation with my brother about doubt, whether it's a good thing or whether it's a bad thing. Certainly doubt's not necessarily 100% a good thing, but it's not 100% a bad thing either. You know, doubt is what led me to Christ. I doubted the things of God. And guess what? I sought them out. I searched them for myself. And doubt led me to receiving what God had for me. So doubt isn't 100% a bad thing to have in your life. Just because you doubt doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. Hopefully it means that God is using your doubt to draw you into belief, into faith. And that's exactly what He did for Thomas. Jesus met Thomas exactly where he was in his doubt. He met him exactly where he was. And he tells us that he encouraged him away from his doubt into his faith. Second, and that's what I'm going to say here. Second, it teaches us that Jesus was willing to meet Thomas's faith right where he was at, so that he too would believe. You know, you would think that Thomas would have enough evidence and would believe, really, all that he had seen, all that he had been through, especially with his friends kind of encouraging him or telling him the truth. But still, Thomas had a lack of faith. He had a weakness there that he could not believe. But God didn't give up on him, did he? You think Jesus just washed his hands of his beloved disciple Thomas just because he had a moment of weakness in his faith? God didn't just wash his hands of Thomas. Thomas was struggling. And Jesus met Thomas right where he was, didn't he? In his struggle. Isn't that encouraging for you? That God just won't abandon you even though maybe you're struggling in some areas of your faith. That's okay. If you seek God like Thomas did, Jesus will meet you right where you're at. He'll meet you right where you're at. Thomas said, "The things I need to believe, Lord, is that I can take my finger and I can see the wound in your hand and I can place my finger right through the hole. And I can take my hand and put it into your side." That's tremendous. You think, who would be willing to do that? Jesus was. When he seen Thomas, what did he say? "Thomas, here, look at my hand. Take your hand and place it into your finger into the hole." That's what he did. "My side, Thomas, look at my side. Take your hand and place it into my side." What Thomas needed to believe, Jesus was willing to meet him right there in that place. You know, no person who has ever died can come before the throne of God and say, "God, you gave up on me. You just gave up on me, God. I would have had faith. I would have believed. I would have been obedient, but Lord, you gave up on me. You think that will hold water up in heaven? Absolutely not. God seeks us at every level, doesn't he? He seeks us at every moment to turn our hearts to him, to believe, to have faith, to be obedient, to be his disciple. He's seeking for us to do that. We can't go to heaven coming before the throne and say, Lord, you gave up on me. Absolutely not. God never gives up on us. He did not give up on Thomas. And he does not give up on you. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? God will not give up on you. Notice, because Jesus was willing to meet Thomas where his faith was, notice what he proclaimed there in verse 28. What does Thomas say? My Lord and my God. He's a believer now, isn't he? But then Jesus goes to say, and this is the third teaching, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Blessed are those who have, maybe they have doubted, but they have turned their doubt into faith. Blessed are those who have not seen, but have yet believed. You know, none of us have seen the physical Jesus like the disciples or like Thomas here. But Jesus encourages us that we can believe, can't we? We can have faith. And that we can believe and that we are blessed. We are blessed if we believe without seeing. That's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. The Lord says, blessed are those who have faith that has not seen but yet believe. You're blessed if you believe that Jesus has died for you. You are blessed if, furthermore, if you believe that in Jesus' resurrection, that he has risen from the grave and is alive. You are blessed if you have believed those things. Because, friends, you, as much as you have believed them, have believed these things, you have received them unto yourself. And like Thomas, you can confess, my God, my Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the example of Thomas. Lord, I pray if any are here today, Lord, and they've been dealing with doubt. Lord, maybe they're questioning their faith. Lord, maybe they've been trying to reason out in their mind whether these things are real or not. Whether or not you rose from the grave. Whether or not your salvation is complete. Whether or not their life is guaranteed eternal with your Son. Maybe there has been doubt that has been seeping in like a cancer within a person's faith here today. And I just pray right now that, Lord, you meet them exactly where they're at. Lord, that you encourage them back through your truth, through your love of your Son Jesus, that they too might come back to believe again, to stand again upon the foundational things of their faith. Those things that we know are true because, Lord, we believe them. We believe them by faith. We stand on these truths. Although they are not seen yet, Lord, we believe they will be one day. One day our faith will all pay off when we receive that eternal paradise that is laid up for us there in heaven. Father, bless us, I pray, with the faith that we need to live out each day for you. Lord, we confess too that we have times of weakness. Lord, we question. But Lord, I just pray that you give us the faith that we need. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen.